If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews the 10th chapter. I'm going to read verses 5 through 10. Mark this spot. I will be back. It is my text for this morning. And as we read it, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, and you'll notice that this is a quote from the Old Testament. He says, "Sacrifice and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. And whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God." After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law, the old covenant, the Old Testament law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. Now, who in the world is this? Verse 10. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. All those personal pronouns there is Jesus. Jesus was saying this. Jesus has come to abolish the Old Testament law and to replace it with a once for all sacrifice. Let's pray. So, Lord, this morning we get what I believe is the Lord Jesus' perspective on why he came. What, as we conclude Christmas, as we put the old year to bed and look towards the new year, we let Jesus have the final word. What? Why did he come? What is the real emphasis of Christmas? What was he coming to accomplish? So, Lord, I pray you would open our eyes, our minds, our hearts to receive your word. We thank you for it, God. Use it to speak to us, I pray. Amen. In the early 70s, there was a Saturday morning kids show called You Are There. CBS revamped it. It had originally aired in the 50s. But Walter Cronkite would anchor the show from his news desk. And they would go back, supposedly, and interview participants from historical events. It was a very good history show for kids. I absolutely loved it. What if we could go back and interview participants in the first Christmas? Over the last 25 years here, I've preach sermons on the angels, the shepherds, Mary, Joseph, Zechariah, the so-called wise men, etc. But this morning, as we close out the year and look towards a new year, I want to revisit Christmas one last time. In fact, this morning, I want to interview the baby himself. I want to find out what Jesus Christ recollection of the Christmas story. Well, we saw it in our text. First of all, Jesus tells us that he came on purpose. He came on purpose. Verse 5. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says. Now, we can stop right there. Who is it that came into the world? It's Christ, right? Born this day, Emmanuel. So, when he, Christ, Jesus, came into the world, here is what he said. Okay. Therefore, when he came into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired. He's talking to God, obviously, the Father. But a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure. So again, he's referring to the old covenant, to the Old Testament. Those offerings, those sacrifices weren't sufficient. they didn't have the desired effect. Something else had to happen. And Jesus says to God, "A body you have prepared for me." Verse 6, "In whole burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said," Jesus said, "behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God." So Jesus tells us here he came for a very specific purpose, for a very specific reason. Now we know it's Jesus because we saw in verse 10, but this will, by this, what we've been looking at, will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So this body is the body of Christ, is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, is Christ coming in the flesh, Christ coming into humanity. All right, we talked about that some in Sunday school. He's 100% God, 100% man. So there's a reason he took on a body. There's a reason he took on flesh. He was up until that time spirit. God the Father is a spirit. God the Son is a spirit. God the Holy Spirit is a spirit. So he had not been flesh. He had not been in a physical body until the moment of conception. Again, we talked about that in Sunday school. I will post the link to that if you want to go back and watch that. But we see here that he is quoting from Psalm 40. Psalm 40. "Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired, my ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." So in Hebrews 10, we have a quote from Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. And Jesus quotes that, is using that to tell us why he came. He came for a very specific purpose. Back in April of 2000, there was a baby born named Adam Nash. He was what became known as a Savior baby. He was born for the specific purpose of providing stem cells to use to help heal his older sibling who had a rare disorder. Now, putting the ethical arguments aside, he was born to save his brother. He, however, had no say in that. His parents decided to conceive him to save his brother. He had no say. He didn't do it on purpose. Conversely, this baby named Jesus did have a say in it. He came on purpose. His purpose. His purpose, as we will see, was to fulfill the Father's will. But he came on purpose. He did have a choice. He already existed. Adam Nash didn't exist until he was conceived. Christ already existed from eternity past. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he came by his own volition. He came on purpose. The baby named Jesus had a say in his birth, in his arrival. And he came to fulfill the Father's will. Verse 9. "Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will." Now, what was that will? God willed Christ to be our Savior, our Redeemer. Look at verse 4. "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." Now, that refers to the Old Covenant. That refers to the Old Testament. All those sacrifices. The Old Testament, as you know, if you've ever read through it, if you've ever read it, it's a bloody book. So much bloodshed, so much offering, blood offerings, burnt offerings, sacrificial offerings, lambs, goats, bulls, just blood. Blood applied to the mercy seat, blood applied to the temple, blood sprinkled on the instruments. It's bloody. But sadly, that was a temporary fix. It didn't take away the sin. It covered it. It hid it. For a year, Israel could operate under covering of that blood, but they had to do it again the next year and the next year. And Yom Kippur, that's what they're doing. So it was not sufficient. Verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. So every time they had to offer another sacrifice, it reminded them that the last sacrifice wasn't enough. And we go through literally centuries and centuries and centuries of insufficient sacrifices. You know, sometimes people get the idea that Jesus had to talk God into sending him. They picture, and there's their mistake number one, we ought not try to picture God, okay? We can't picture God, but they picture that God is this angry figure who wants to take out his wrath on mankind. And Jesus said, no, please don't do that. Let me go. I'll take care of it. But that's not what this verse says. That's not what this passage says at all. The passage says it was God's will to send Jesus to be the sacrifice. It was God's will that Christ would be the sacrifice. Jesus gladly fulfilled that will. So there's no reluctance on either. It's not that God, you know, some people think that God is angry and Jesus said, please let me go, please let me do something about it. No, but it also wasn't God saying, well, Jesus, I want you to go. And Jesus said, no, I don't want to. He did want to. He delighted to do it, as fact we will see here shortly. So we see the voluntary nature of Christ's sacrifice in light of this verse. Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So just as Christ presented himself to take on a body as a sacrifice, in light of that, we are urged to present ourselves to Christ, to sacrifice for Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, took on a human body in order that he might be the sacrifice for sin. Matthew 20:28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and how? To give his life a ransom for many. Now back in Hebrews 10, we read verse 7. Then I said, Christ said, behold, I have come. And then notice in the parentheses, in the scroll of the book, it is written of me. What book? The Old Testament. The Old Covenant. You know what he's saying here? The whole Old Testament is pointing to my arrival. The entire Old Testament is pointing to Jesus' arrival. That's what all those sacrifices were about. That's what all that bloodshed was about. It was about the coming one who will once for all take away sin. The 10th chapter of Hebrews contrasts the perfect sacrifice of Christ with the previous sacrifices of the Old Covenant. Verse 11. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sin, that's Christ, for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Christ is seated at the right hand of God because his work is finished. He's not in heaven offering daily sacrifices every day. And he doesn't need us to do it in the Mass to re-sacrifice Christ every day. No. Once for all. And now he is sitting in the throne room by his Father, mission complete. So Jesus tells us that he came on purpose. Jesus tells us that he was the only one fit for that purpose. Verse 8 again. And after saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which were offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. And he takes away the first in order to establish the second. He was the only one qualified to take care of the first, to fulfill the law in the first covenant and establish the new covenant, the New Testament. Now, you know, it's possible to have a noble purpose, like a New Year's resolution, and yet not be able to fulfill it. You want to do the right thing, you just don't, you can't. Christ, however, had a purpose that he knew he could fulfill. He came with the knowledge that he was the perfect one, the only one, to fulfill that purpose. As a man, as someone in a body, that's what he's talking about, in the body, as a man, he could die. As God, his death could pay the infinite price. As a man, he could die. As God, his death could pay the infinite price. Bulls and goats cannot. A man who is 100% God and 100% man can. All of our works cannot earn God's favor. Instead, we trust in the finished work of Christ because he is the only one sufficient to take away sin. Thirdly, Jesus tells us he is delighted to fulfill that purpose. He is delighted to fulfill that purpose. Psalm 48 says, I delight to do your will, O God. Your law is within my heart. He delighted to do this. He willingly did this. He knew what it meant. He was coming for sacrifice. He knew what that meant. He was the only one that could fulfill it. And he fulfilled it happily. He delighted to do it. Sometimes, I confess, I'm guilty of doing God's will reluctantly. Like sometimes trying to be a good husband. I know what I should do. I just don't want to. But I always do it. But I don't like it. We all have done God's will, but somewhat reluctantly. Jesus didn't do it reluctantly. He delighted in it. He delighted in doing God's will. And don't forget what God's will was for him. Right? That cross. Suffer to die. That was what he was coming to do. And he did it joyfully. Jesus didn't do it, by the way, for our salvation. Now that's the byproduct. But he did it to do the Father's will. Verse 9. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. In other words, there was a benefit to us that he came, and that is our salvation. That is that the law's demands have been satisfied. That is that there's a once-for-all sacrifice for our sin. But in reality, technically, he didn't come for that. He came to fulfill God's will. And it was God's will that his sacrifice would save us. We benefited because he delighted to fulfill the Father's will. Fourth, Jesus tells us he is still fulfilling that purpose. This is so important. Verse 10. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for ever. Once for all. He doesn't have to do it again. I don't need him to do it again. He has done it once for all. As we put this year to bed, we move on from Christmas. But the Christmas story isn't something that happened a long time ago in ancient history. Jesus' coming is still relevant now, as it was then, because he is still the only one, the only way to fulfill the Father's demands for holiness. He is the only answer to God's demand for holiness. I mean, if you have to pull one descriptive term out of the Old Testament for God, it's holy, right? Holy, holy, holy. He is holy. I am not. He is holy. What am I going to do? I'm going to trust the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He is the solution to my need to reach God's holy standard. We can find full assurance and peace in the once for all sacrifice of Christ. Look at verse 12. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time. Again, the effects are eternal. For all time. Yes, it happened in the past. It happened at a point in time at the cross. But the effects are ongoing. He is still fulfilling that purpose. He is still the answer to sin. He's still the solution to my lack of holiness. Verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. The work of Christ on the cross is sufficient. We don't need to carry the burden of guilt or the nagging need to earn more of God's favor. Christ paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Our response is to live in the reality of our sanctification and continue growing in holiness through the power of the Holy Spirit. In 2024, may we strive to delight in doing God's will while recognizing the limitations of our own efforts. May we rest in the once-for-all sacrifice of Christ. May we be encouraged by the profound truth that in Christ we have been sanctified for eternity. Let's pray. Father, there's no better way to head into a new year by remembering that we have been sanctified forever. That the death of Christ is still sufficient, just as it was in 2023, so it will be in 2024. We don't need to be resaved. We don't need to work and earn our salvation. Christ has done it all. So, Lord, as we look into the next year, maybe we find comfort and hope in that. That Christ is sitting down. It's complete. It's done. Now, Lord, I do pray if there's someone here who doesn't understand what I'm talking about or still struggles with the idea, Lord, I would pray that they'd search out myself or one of the other pastors or elders and ask. And, Lord, we could share with them what we mean by that. But, Lord, for those of us who have trusted in Christ, may we breathe easy. The demands have been met once for all. Amen.